It's a little strange for me being up here. I was trying to remember the last time I spoke on a Sunday morning, and it was a long time ago. It was sometime in November, which is the longest stretch that I've gone, probably for the, oh my goodness, a long time, years and years and years. So this is a little bit strange, so I don't know how this is going to go this morning. We got through the first service, and that was good, so, but you be patient with me. for those of you who don't know, I was on a sabbatical. The church gave me an 8-week sabbatical. It started at the end of November, and I got back to work in the middle of January. So I was gone for 8 weeks. That's the first time that we as a church have done this. Certainly the first time I've done something like that. And if you remember back when we were kind of leading up to this, you know, we talked about it a lot and talked about it in church in different times because, you know, this is a, in a big way, this is a family. And so, you know, what one person does certainly impacts the next. So we wanted everyone to kind of be on top of it, you know, why we were doing this, kind of what the goals were and things like that. So Dave and Doug and I just felt like my first time back, it would be good for me to give you a little bit of a report, I guess, of how it went. So that's what we're going to do today. In the back, I don't know, is Nancy here? I'm not sure. I printed off. I have to give a report to the trustees, and so I wrote that and put some back on that table. I'm not sure if there's any there. If you want one and it's not back there, you can ask me. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. So that's the goal of what we're going to do today, just to kind of give you guys an update about how it went. And I titled it, Was It Worth It? Because when people would ask me, oh, what happened on the sabbatical, what'd you do? Many, many, many people would ask that question. Was it worth it? Did it, you know, was it what you expected it to be? Was it a good thing? You know, would you do it again? And so that's the kind of what I want to share with you guys today. I'm not going to, you know, get into all the details of everything I did, just a little bit at the beginning. But mostly there are just some things that I think God taught me or reminded me of or emphasized with me, things that certainly resonated with me and hopefully perhaps can resonate with you as well, but also just to let you know kind of whether or not this was something as a church that we did, whether, now that I've done it, whether we think it was worth it, it was a good thing or not. So that's the goal here today. So just very briefly, what I did on the sabbatical was I started my sabbatical the day that deer season started. So the first 9 days I was chasing the mythical white-tailed deer. There aren't any. And in Mirror, apparently, because I had a hard time finding them. But it was really fun. I was in the woods with my dad for the first 9 days. And then after that, I was pretty much home. I mean, that's mostly what I did. I just stayed home with my wife and my kids. There was a stretch during Christmas where we traveled to Sue's folks and my folks. And then we went, Sue and I and the family went to Faith Walkers in between Christmas and New Year's. But for the vast majority of that time, I was home. I stayed home pretty much every day. I didn't travel. I didn't have a lot of projects, a lot of outside things going on. I stayed home. And so that was kind of, you know, what defined it, I guess, or what I did. Ellie Hammer lives with us, and she would joke that, you know, she'd leave in the morning. I'd have my sweatpants on and my hoodie and be sitting in the chair, and I'd come back, and I wouldn't have changed or moved. And she said, did you sit there all day? And I think, yeah, I might have. I don't really remember. But that's what a lot of it was. So kind of with that very, very general background of what I did, I want to share with you some of the things that I think were very, very beneficial, very impactful, if you will, about this time. And again, my goal in sharing this is a couple things. Number one, just to let you know, was it worth it? Well, I'm going to tell you whether I think it was or not. And number two, the things that God impressed on me, I think, are things that we all can learn from. And so my desire is that God can speak to you as well. And really, my experience can be something that all of us can learn from. All right. Three brief things, highlights, I guess, if you will, but big things that I think were impactful in this sabbatical. First was the connections that I made with my wife and kids, and primarily with my wife. Sue and I have been married for 20 years. And, you know, those of you who are married know that as we have these, you grow in your relationship. You become more united. You learn more and more about each other. And the longer you're together, the more you learn. And there's always something new to be exploring about each other. There's always something new that I can open up with. Always something new that I can learn about my wife. That process never ends. Being on sabbatical gave me an opportunity to. I guess the best way to say it is to linger with my wife over long periods of time. By not going somewhere, by just staying home most of that time, I would just be home. So I became more and more and more a part of my wife's world. My normal routine, of course, is I wake up on the weekday mornings and I'm home for a while. You know, we're all up together as a family for 2 or 3 hours, and I'm gone. And I come home at some point in the evening, and then we're home for a while, and then we go to bed. Well, this was different. I'd wake up in the morning, and we'd be all together for 2 or 3 hours, and then I wouldn't go anywhere. And I'd stay there, and Sue would begin her normal day. We homeschool our youngest two children, and so that would begin to happen, and I would be there. And I was involved I was just there more. And because I was there more, it opened up the opportunity for us to things came out that hadn't come out in the past 20 years. Relationships are a function of communication over time. In other words, we get to know somebody as we communicate with them over a period of time. Staying home for those weeks gave me the opportunity, gave Sue and I the opportunity to talk about things and for things to come up that hadn't come up in the past 20 years, and it was very, very, very good for us. I think about this verse in Proverbs. It's Proverbs 20, verse 5. It says, "The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out." And, you know, that's very true. That what's going on inside of my wife is deep waters. What's going on inside of me is deep waters, but understanding we can draw those things out of each other. And that's really, in a big way, kind of what happened with Sue and I. Some things were drawn out that hadn't been drawn out for the past 20 years. And a lot of it was because we had a lot of time like this, just face to face, in ways that we didn't before. And that wasn't always easy, you know. Sue was kind of having to learn how to deal with a man in his slippers in the house all the time, stumbling around, wandering around, looking for food, or whatever it is that I'm doing in the kitchen. She had to deal with this guy, and it wasn't always easy for her. It wasn't always easy for me, you know, because, you know, I'm not there every day, and when I was there every day, I maybe had the tendency to kind of try to, well, that's not the way we're going to do it. We're going to do it different. And just kind of shake everything up, you know, kind of in and out. But so it wasn't always easy for me to be there, but it was extremely good because this happened more and more. We just saw each other in ways that we didn't see each other before. We interacted in ways, in circumstances, about things that we didn't have the opportunity, perhaps, to interact about normally. Let me give you an example. My wife is very much a servant. She's very much an extrovert. She likes to think about what's going on in the people around her, reach out, meet needs. She's very excited to be involved in the gospel and in helping people come into a relationship with God. She's wired that way. So she's always looking, you know, for, are there needs out there? Are there people we can invite to our home? Are there things that we can do just to reach out to our neighbors, to people we meet, to friends? I'm much more introverted. I'm much more kind of a, you know, one-on-one kind of guy. I'm not necessarily wired that way as much. One of the things that my wife wants to do, actually both of us, really understand and believe that God has called us to have an impact on the people around us. We both believe that, and that's maybe a topic for another day, but we both believe that God has called us to be influencers in the world around us. My natural way of doing that is to do it individually. I'm just a kind of a, I'll do it kind of my way. I just kind of do things by myself. Sue's way of doing it is to include other people. What happened was Sue has longed, I think, for a long time to be more involved in the gospel with me. In other words, for her and I to work together in reaching out to people more and more and more. To work as a team, to be inviting people, to be speaking to people, to be influencing together as a team. Kind of how it's happened as, well, she's doing it in her ways, in her circles, I'm doing it in mine. And she's longed for us to do it more together. As we prepared for this sabbatical, and as we talked about it as a family, one of the things that happened is that Sue began to think, oh, good. Well, now Rob's going to be home, and now we can do this. It will happen. We'll work together in the gospel. It's an opportunity for us to be together, to do things together, to be reaching out to our neighbors, using our home. We're going to do this together. 2 or 3 weeks into the sabbatical, it wasn't happening. I was still doing the same things I normally did. Sue was doing the same things she normally did. And it was getting frustrating for her, I think, because she felt like it was slipping away. This opportunity to do this thing that she'd longed to do for years and years and years was slipping away. And it came out one day in the afternoon. I forget even the circumstances. We were in the living room and could tell something wasn't right. And so we just started to talk about it. And this whole thing came out where she has this longing and she's had it forever. And either she hasn't expressed it or I haven't caught it or some combination of the two. But for 20 years, we've missed each other. This way. We've missed each other. She's longed to do something, and I've kind of missed it. And so we kind of pass each other in the night, and that's been hard on her all these years. Me being home forced us, you know, kind of going like this. All of a sudden, we kind of went like that. It just clonk, and we banged into it, and we had to deal with it. But because we finally banged into it, we were able to begin to talk about it and explain it and really mesh on it. Does that make sense? We'd gone from this, but me being home made us do this so that we could do this. And we learned from it. I recognized, boy, you know what, sweetie? You're really right. That is a wonderful thing to do, and I'm sorry that I've missed it. And so we talked about it. What is that going to look like? How is that going to really play out in our relationship? And what we came up with was, you know what? I need to initiate praying for people, for our neighbors, for the people that we know. She and I need to do it together. We need to pray together, and it really needs to be initiated by me. And that's something that I can do going forward because we came to this understanding. She then needs to be the one to kind of put feet under it. I'm not good at inviting people. I'm not good at setting things up. Schedules are not my thing. Sue can do that. She can invite people over. Hey, we should do this for these people. Let's make a meal for these people, and then let's walk it up there and do it. These neighbors are having this going on. Why don't we do this for them? She can plan things, and I can join into them. But the point is that we communicated about something that we'd missed for many, many, many years. And I really think the reason is because this was happening more and more. We had more and more time just like that. And we weren't always smiling like that, mostly. But we just had more FaceTime together. And it was a wonderful thing, I think, for our relationship in more ways than just that. We were really afforded the opportunity to communicate in ways and in circumstances that we hadn't before, and that brought some things out that were very good for them to be brought out. And so going forward, I think, well, I don't want that to only happen once every great long while when I happen to be on a sabbatical. And I don't think it has to. You know, Sue and I have been faithful over the years of going on a date where we have avoided the temptation to go shopping or to get it caught up with other things or, okay, our date will be taking the kids to soccer. No, it's not. Our date is going to be going grocery shopping. No, it's not. Our date is when we go out and we sit and we talk. And we have over the years, that is sacrosanct. We don't miss that and we don't violate it because it gives us an opportunity for that. We've also started something else that happened on the sabbatical that's good that I think we've kept up, which is we go walking together now. Once a week, we go on a date. 2 or 3 times a week, we'll just go for a walk. We'll go out, take the dogs, go on back, and we'll just walk. Again, it's a chance for us to communicate. But that's one of the things that was so good about being on sabbatical is it allowed Sue and I the opportunity to do this. And it reminded me of the importance of it. And we know that, you know, we all know how important that is. But I was also reminded of how easy it is to miss that. How easy it is for that not to happen as life just kind of gets going and we just can't afford to let that happen. And we don't have to have a sabbatical to make that happen. We really, really, truly don't. And you don't have to have a sabbatical to make that happen. But we need this in our relationships. We need that time together. And that's one of the things that was so good about being home all those times. A second thing that was very, very good about being home, a second good thing about that sabbatical, was it helped me personally in my some of the things that God is teaching me about my relationship with Him. I tend to be very, very, very much a project-oriented kind of guy. I make lists. And I was reminded how much I'm a list guy. When I come to work in the morning, I make a list. In fact, I feel really good if I can make my list for tomorrow as I leave the office, because I like to have a list. So on sabbatical, I didn't have things going on, but I still made a list. I'd wake up in the morning and think, what am I going to do? And so I'd, you know, take the book out to the car and put it in the back seat. You know, clean up the crumbs on the counter. I felt like I had to have a list of things to do, and I was just reminded how project-oriented I am. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but here's something that God showed me in this. My normal routine in the morning is to I wake up and I have a quiet time. I'll sit down with the Bible and I will read and I will pray. I'll spend time talking to God. I'll spend time listening to God through the Bible. That happens every day. When I'm, you know, kind of my normal world, my prayers, you know, I've got different prayer lists again. But on my sabbatical, here's what I found. I was having my quiet time. I'd wake up in the morning. I'd sit down and I would read. But as the days went on with my sabbatical, I was praying less and less. And I thought, well, why is that? I wonder, what's going on? And what showed me was I was feeling a little more distant from God, which makes sense. You talk to a person less, you feel a little bit more distant from them. And I was feeling a little more distant from God, and I recognized it's because I'm not praying. I thought, why aren't I praying? And here's why. Because the things that I normally talk to God about weren't there anymore. I tend to talk to God about projects. What is the next teaching I have to do? What's the next project that we, you know, what's the meeting I have to go to? What's the person I'm going to meet with? I talk about the things on my list. That's my normal kind of, that's what I'm comfortable talking to God about. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but left to itself, that's not the complete picture. And here's what I found. It's kind of like, you know, when you know somebody at work, and you know them really well at work, and you interact with them in that environment, in that atmosphere, and you like that person, and you have a good, you know, rapport with them, but it all happens at work. And then you see that person on a weekend, you know, at the softball game, and it's a little awkward, because what you're used to talking to them about is what? Work. And if you're not there, you don't quite know what to talk to them about. I kind of found that that was true of my relationship with God. When I wasn't at work, I wasn't quite sure what to talk to him about, but it was so good because I remembered this verse in Psalm 46:10. And again, this is a very familiar verse. And it just says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." And that was good. I spent a lot of time lingering in my relationship with God. That's the theme of my sabbatical, was linger. I just lingered over everything. Everything moved slowly and wonderfully, and there wasn't this sense of driving necessarily purpose to it, but it was wonderful with my wife and with God. And in many ways, I it was an opportunity for me to feel comfortable in that kind of relationship with God. And I'm the little girl in this picture, by the way. And I'm just, you know, it's a sunny day, and I got my sandals and my sundress on, and I'm just toddling along. And I don't necessarily even know where we're going or where we are. There's probably an ice cream cone in my future. But and in a big way, this was an opportunity for me to live like that with God, just to be still. And I began to talk to God about just whatever was on my mind. I would remember somebody, and so God and I would just talk about that person, or we'd talk about the clouds or something, and it was just so good for me to have time in my relationship with God to not have something that was on the agenda. Does that make sense? We had lots of non-agenda time because I didn't have an agenda. I didn't have anything to do, and it was good. It was wonderful. For me personally, I've been thinking a lot. This is something God has been teaching me and working on with me for quite a while. Really learning to be comfortable with Him as my dad, as my friend, not just as my Lord, not just as my master. And one of the verses over the years that God has really kind of brought to mind for me is in Matthew 11. He says, Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And I really felt like, you know what, that's happening in a way that maybe hasn't happened in the past. I'm finding rest for my soul. I'm just being refreshed in my relationship with God because I'm not necessarily doing something. Now, don't get me wrong. God asks us to work. I'm not saying that, oh, we shouldn't work, we should sit around. No, part of our relationship with God is that he runs and he asks us to work and to labor and to accomplish. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. And we need to recognize that part of our relationship with God is this. We're just holding his hand and looking around, and that's fine. And I was really afforded an opportunity, I think, in this sabbatical because all of the stuff that I would normally do for God, I wasn't doing it right then. And I didn't want to just ignore God. I didn't want that. I felt the need to be with him, so we just did other things. We did this. Does that make sense? It was very, very refreshing for me to be able to interact with God without an agenda. I think it was necessary for my soul. And again, you know, I need to carry this forward. You need to carry this forward. God desires that for all of us. And I've heard for years about this acronym DAWG Days, D-A-W-G. People talk about this. And what it is Day Away with God, where people will just kind of schedule in their life, in their routine, once a month, once a week, whatever, a day where they just go and they don't have an agenda and they just spend it with God. And I've always resisted that. I just have not wanted to do that because, you know, honestly, when I've tried to do it, I just run out of things to say with God after, because I'm still wanting to be with him in the office. But this was good for me to feel and to really experience just being still. Just being still and being with God. I learned a lot about being with God as opposed to doing something with God. Both of them are wonderful. I needed to just be with God. And so it was good for me to do that. And I just encourage you as well. You know, I don't know where you're at, but for me personally, that's the great thing about God. He knows what we need. I think he knew that I needed that. So my sabbatical was a lot about sitting, and my quiet times began to linger. I would wake up in the morning, I would read the Bible, and then I wasn't going through my prayer list, but I would just sit and talk to God about whatever was on my mind. And it was so sweet and so fun. And so my quiet times, you know, normally in the morning they might be a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour maybe. They would start to be an hour and a half, 2 hours, and, you know, the kids are doing school, and I'm still sitting there with my glasses, my reading glasses, and a blanket. I looked like a grandpa. It was great. I longed for that. I'm looking forward to those days. But anyhow, I would just do the grandpa thing and just sit there with God. And the kids were coming and going. And so it was really, really good and fun for me to do that. And I was reminded how much I need that, not just on the times when I may have weeks and weeks and weeks, but I need to make sure I'm getting that in my life. You do as well. Third thing, big, kind of bigger thing that God impressed on me when I was at the sabbatical. One of the things that I did, and I had planned to do this, was for me and my family to go to different churches here in town. I accepted Christ when I was a junior in college here in Eau Claire in this church. So for the past 26 years, my Christian life has been in this church. Really, my entire Christian life has been here at Cedar Creek. And that is a wonderful thing. I am so grateful to God that he has put me in one place and I could stay there. I would not change that. I love the fact that I have been home here for the last 26 years. It's a wonderful thing. It's been good for me. I think it's been good for the church. It's just a good thing for us to be in the home where God puts us. But one of the things that happened because of that is I probably have been to other churches in this town maybe 2 times in the last 26 years. Maybe. And I don't even remember them. So when I was on sabbatical, I wanted to go to other churches just to see what that was like. And I really was looking, I wasn't sure what to expect. And one of the things that I found was it is really difficult to come into a place where you don't know what's going on. It's not like going to Target. You know, when you go to Target, there's a defined relationship there. Okay, I'm coming to buy something. You're going to sell me something. It's on the shelf somewhere. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do. There's a very clear set of boundaries between everybody. It's not like that coming into church, because when you come into church, I mean, from the beginning, okay, we're talking about something a little more meaningful than a bottle of shampoo or a bag of Doritos or something. We're going to talk about something that's personal to you. We're going to talk about God. These are, you know, kind of a little more touchy subjects. Plus, you're walking into a place where people know each other and there's relationship going on. So when I walked in the front door of some churches, I was struck with how it impacted me. Some of the churches that I went to, I felt like, you know, they were happy to be there. The people there, it's a wonderful thing, lots going on, but they weren't as excited for me to be there. Not that they didn't want me to be there, but, you know, I was kind of left to myself. Other places, I felt like, well, you know, I'm not even sure if the people want to be here at all. You know, it's almost like they need to be. And one place I went to, Jacob's Well, I walked in and I felt like they were glad to be there themselves. They really wanted to be there. They seemed to really comfortably enjoy being there, and it felt like they were glad that I was there as well. I walked in the door, and they were glad to be there, and they were glad that I was there, and it was just a nice place to be. And I thought to myself, that's good, I think, Lord, because of this verse that is, I've thought about this verse much over the years. It's in Luke 14:23. This is Jesus speaking. He's at the end of a story that he's telling this, but it's this. Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full." You know, God's desire for us as a church is for us to be influencing the world around us. I talked about that in that first point, how individually God asks us to do that. But as a church family, God's plan in the world is that this church family, every church family, would be reaching out, and more people would be coming into the church family. Why? Because we need people in the seats? No. Because every single one of you, God knows your face and your name. He knows who you are. He longs for you. He loves you. And so he wants everyone to become part of his family. But many people aren't. They're separated from God. They're estranged from God. Part of what God asks us to do is to open our arms and to win. We talk about that here at Cedar Creek. Part of our mission is to win, to help people recognize that God desires to have a relationship with them, and to help them to see how that relationship begins, to help them to see what their part in that is, and that we do have a responsibility, and that we do have a choice to make. Do I desire to be right with God? Or for different reasons, am I resisting that? Am I just staying away from it? God's plan for every single person is that they would come to the recognition that you have to make a choice about your relationship with God. It's just like a choice about getting married. No one forces it on you. You choose to do it or to not do it. Will you choose to become right with God? Because you're not right with God. It's like you don't get born married. You don't get born right with God. You have to make that conscious choice. God tells us as individuals and as a church, help people to make that choice. Explain to them what that means. Be a place where people can come and can learn about that and can find God and can accept him and can become the kind of people he wants them to be. That is part of our mission here at Cedar Creek. And so what happens on Sunday morning is a big part of that, where people who are beginning to have that hunger a little bit, who are beginning to wrestle with that, maybe don't quite know what they're even looking for, but they come in the doors on a Sunday morning, and we have to remember as a church that God says this, hey, compel them to come in. That word make there, it says, go into the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be filled. The Greek word literally translates to compel them to come in. In other words, give them a motivation to come and to stay and to fill up God's house. And I thought, on a Sunday morning, when people walk in these doors, what do they feel? My hope, my desire, I think God's desire, is that they would feel these people are glad to be there. They like each other, they like being where they're at, and they're glad that I'm here. Because of all the churches I went to, the one that I was compelled to go back to, the one that would I felt like, you know what, if I was looking for a church, I'd go to Jacob's Well. Because besides that, I got to tell you this because it's so fun. It was so professional. And again, we live in a professional world, but we took our kids to to Sunday school. We'd never been there before, so we walked over to where the Sunday school thing is, and we had to register our kids for Sunday school. All right, so we walked up to a kiosk, and there were two very friendly gals there, and I had Sam and Katie with me. And so there's a little bit of information they wanted. They asked us for our phone number and our first names, Sam, Katie, Rob, and Sue. And they typed that in, and they said, okay, great, you're all set up. Then we walked over to a desk with several touch screen computer screens on it, and there was a keypad, and Sam put in the last four digits of our phone number, 6501, and up popped all our names, Rob, Sue, Katie, and Sam. And the lady asked, okay, now touch whoever is here. Okay, we're all here. Then a little sticker printed out for all four of us had our name on it. And so Sam got his sticker, Katie got hers, Sue and I got ours. They went off to Sunday school, we went to church. Then after church, we came back and we had to go get them. And so we walked down the hallway to pick up the kids, found them, got them. We were walking out again, and we got to the door of the kind of Sunday school spot, and there was a guy there, a real friendly guy, with a little handheld deal. He said, oh, hang on a second, and he scanned my tag. There was a barcode on it. Scanned it, and my picture came up on his screen. Whoa, this is great. And he looked at it and said, okay, you should have two. One, two, okay. Off you go. I said, do that again. This is... And it was just so... And you know what? We live in a professional world. You know, if you're driving down the street on a dark night and you have to get gas, and there's a Quick Trip with the donuts and the Caruba coffee, and there's Billy Joe Bob's Gas and Grub over here with one light and a bag of potato chips and one pump, where are you going to go? Billy Joe Bob is a fantastic guy, but human nature, the world we live in, you're probably going to go to the Quick Trip. The point to that is not that we have to try to be flashy. The point is to be wise. And we need to be wise in compelling the world around us. And I was just struck with that. And I asked the question, how well do we do that? Now, by telling that story, I want to make one thing perfectly clear. My entire family could not wait to come back to Cedar Creek. No matter how fun it was to get scanned at Jacob's Well, I'm not going back, because this is home. This is home. And I love being here. And my kids could not wait. They said, Dad, how many more churches do we have to go to? Please, can we go back to Cedar Creek and see our friends and our family? This is my family. This is where I have grown up as a Christian. And I am not going anywhere. And I love it here. I love it. I love coming here. But it just made me think, are other people having that experience where they're coming and this is becoming their home and they're learning to love it here? I think that's what God asks us to do. And it made me ask the question, I wonder how much that's happening. And it's something that we can talk about as a church family. In fact, at our next ministry leaders meeting, we're going to talk about this. How well do we do that? And again, it's not about being the best in town. It's not about filling the seats. It's about recognizing the reality that there are people that God knows. He knows their face. He knows their name. He thinks about them. He longs to hold their hand like that picture we saw. And he wants to bring them here. And will they feel comfortable? Will they be compelled to come and to find out not about us, but about God? Is that happening? I think it is. The only question is, can we do it a little bit better? That was on my mind. So, one more thing. They mentioned the Valentine's dinner. Just a little kudo here. If that was the first thing I ever came to at Cedar Creek, you could not make me leave. I would live in the foyer waiting for the next one. That was unbelievably good. Oh, my word. I could not believe it. We walked in. Our kids were whisked away. We never saw them again for 3 hours. They had crafts, and they were fed. We walked into this Arabian Nights kind of really fun room. We sat down. The service was excellent. The food was unbelievably good. I know my sister was talking about tofu and stuff, and that's great, but I got meat and lots of it, and it just kept coming, and whatever. It was so, so, so good for $30 for me and my wife. And I told the survey, and the service was excellent. If that word got about this, we'd have 500 people here next year. Really, I mean, why wouldn't you come to that? That was an excellent thing. That was just, really has nothing to do with anything I talked about other than to congratulate the people who did that, because that was unbelievably good. So, the question is, was it worth it? Yes. Was the sabbatical worth it? Oh, yes. It was. In so many ways, more than I even shared. God used it to stir my heart, to give me rest. God used it to build my relationship with my sweet wife and my children. God used it to allow many of you to step up and do the things that I do. And yeah, it was worth it. I think it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. But it really is, for you and for me, you know, life is a process. We walk through it, and we learn, and we adjust. And so things I learned in my sabbatical need to carry forward. And maybe they can carry forward for you. Maybe they can carry forward for us as a church family. But it was definitely worth it, and I'm grateful. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to take it. It really was a blessing for my life. If you have questions or thoughts or concerns about anything that happened, boy, please feel free to ask. There's no secrets there at all. But thank you very much for letting me take it. Father, we just thank you that you know what we need and when we need it. Lord, thank you that you do teach us and lead us, and I'm just so glad, God, that you know us, and you don't give us a kind of a cookie-cutter way to live our lives, but you speak to each one of us in the ways and times that we need, and I'm just grateful for how you spoke to my family and I over that 8 weeks, and how you even spoke to us as a church family. We're just thankful, God. I pray that the lessons that we learn in life along the way, they would change us, and we would take them to heart, and we'd let you lead us and guide us really every day, whether we're on sabbatical or not. No matter what we're doing, you have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen.